90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
Sad story now. Still waiting for the truth to be told now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It won't be long now. Nah, nah. Won't be long.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
There's a news, there's a river sore and dry. And on TV, I see missiles in your sky. Word is out, love whispering, rolling on. Oh, and Houston mercenaries coming in thousands from war.
Tune to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Morrow Wolf. Our co-host, Joe Jackson, is at the table alongside our guest, Melissa Douglas, who's with the Kansas City Public School District Homeless Program. She's the homelessness liaison. Welcome, Melissa, to KKFI and to Urban Connections.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So when I think about Kansas City school, public schools in general, I don't think we usually think about homelessness as it relates to our public schools. But apparently it isn't enough of a problem that there has to be a whole individual or program dedicated to mitigating the problems of homelessness among our school kids.
Oh, that's a great question. So what happens here is that with the adoption of the No Child Left Behind, there was some writing through bipartisan collaboration on Capitol Hill, McKinney and Bento. So that's where the act is named after those two congressional people, McKinney-Vento Act. And so what was happening in the past was that there were students that were denied education based on where they lived or where they didn't live, so to speak. So public schools are funded through taxes, correct? And so you pay your local education taxes, and therefore you say, I'm a resident of this particular school district, and so therefore I have a right to go to that public school. So when you are homeless or you're living in a shelter or you're in an abandoned building or in a car or even living with someone else, you don't pay taxes and you can't prove your residency. Mm-hmm. You can't say that I have a right to go to school here. And so what happens is that now we just say, you know, we want to make sure that kids have access to education without issues, because how students can get in and out of school without any problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then, therefore, we're saying, okay, those students that are in shelters, we want them to educate it. And so, therefore, we're going to say, you have a right to this education, and this is how you get there. You just need somebody on the inside to get you in, right? Tell somebody to slip you in through the back door, so to speak.
Tell us about some numbers. How many kids are affected in Kansas City with homelessness?
You know, the numbers, they vary from district to district. Our numbers are a little bit more traditionally higher, only because we are in the heart of the city. And so we're, you know, over... or last reported to DESE, or the Missouri Department of Education, was over 1,800 students that we had identified. Those are the students that we had identified. There are students that we have not identified because some say that we want to just, you know, remain anonymous. We don't necessarily want the help, the services, sometimes even the questions that are associated with my situation.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say, you know, well, I'm homeless. Well, let's define homelessness, because, again, it goes back to how it is defined through Congress, through the No Child Left Behind Act, and then through the reauthorization of the No Child Left Behind Act through President Obama, and so the Every Child Succeed Act. So what happens is that the government, or McKinney and Vento, has defined homelessness as students that lack a fixed regular and adequate nighttime residence. Again, fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence. So fixed means that we have a legal purpose to be there, that it is a structure that is supposed to be habitable. Regular is that we're going back to that same spot over and over again, and adequate is that we have working utilities. And so, of course, running water is a big one. And some of our families have deficits when it comes to their utility bills, so therefore, if the utilities aren't working, then, of course, that would meet those qualifications. So we also then further diagnose to see where our students are sleeping that night. So are you sleeping in a shelter? Are you sleeping at grandma's house? Are you sleeping in the car? Are you sleeping on the park bench? Where are you sleeping, so that we can figure out what services are available to you? But more importantly, how can we disrupt this cycle of homelessness?
And do you find that homelessness is a cyclical event in the lives of children?
It can be, you know, I can't just say specifically cyclical, mm-hmm. Because sometimes we see that it's generational.
Mm.
Sometimes it is situational. So, you know, it could be that house fire that tends to happen more in the wintertime because people are, you know, using space heaters, not having working smoke detectors, those preventative measures. But also at the same time, it can be generational because my mama was homeless, my grandma was homeless. That's my normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, we're not trying to judge anybody, and we're really trying not to get in anybody's mm-hmm. business. But we do have to ask questions as to what happened to cause you to get here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was it an eviction? Was it a foreclosure? Or was it just poor decision making?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the one thing that I always want people to understand is that, you know, the families that we work with, they own their decisions. You know, it's not, oh, poor baby, this, that. No. They own that. Yeah, you know what? I messed up, and I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, and, you know, I've learned from my mistakes, and so I'm really trying, or this situation, this marriage that I was in, you know, some things have happened, and we had to get out. I mean, because, again, domestic violence follows up under there, too.
Mm.
And so we're looking... we're taking the whole holistic approach to helping families. We want to remove barriers so children and families and students can enter education without any issues. That's my job, is to remove barriers to education so students have equal access as a house student
mm-hmm.
would have in order to gain their education. Because at the end of the day, our district, KCPS, we want to continue to nourish, grow, develop, and produce, graduate students so that we can produce productive citizens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to take anything away from our students and their achievement, but we always want to add to and enhance, because if I help you, then you're going to help somebody else.
Yeah. And then our society overall. So,
absolutely.
Joe?
So as we define homelessness with mm-hmm. our youth, can you give us a definition of how, when it comes to youth, adults, and families, what the KCPS, or what school districts use to help children in those circumstances?
So every school district, and that includes both charter schools as well as private schools, have to have someone identified according to the federal guidelines under the Every Child Succeed Act, or No Child Left Behind. So someone has to be identified. And so you can find a listing of under the state's website in order to see, hey, who is the homeless liaison that's supposed to represent me at my school and in the event that I have some issue that comes along. So we do an assessment according to what our standard business practice is within the regulations that we have as far as the school district is concerned, because every school district operates a little bit different, and they'll say, you know, we have, if residency is our number one requirement that you have to prove that you are a resident of our school district, then this is what you need to do, and then that homeless liaison will help that family get through that enrollment process in order to secure a seat within their school district. So that also includes meeting some basic needs for students, meaning, you know, uniforms if they didn't have, if they, you know, lack that, the clothing. Sometimes we need, you know, what I would like to recite, like to call, you know, our basic wear. You know, everything that you need, our students need. So we need hygiene, we need underwear, we need socks, we need t-shirts, we need tights, we need hats and gloves and coats and toothbrushes and combs and towels. We need all of that. And so realistically, I can't provide all of that at the school district level. I sure do try. So we have a lot of partnerships that we go into so that we can help have the community come and take that village approach and help us meet the needs, the basic needs of some of our students and our families. And so I keep saying students and our families because students, I like to define them as our unaccompanied youth. And unaccompanied youth is saying, if you look to the right of that student, look to the left of that student, there's no adult, no parent, no guardian that is making educational decisions for them. They're all on their own doing it. They're considered an unaccompanied youth. So with that being said, we kind of step in to help guide that youth down the right path in order to make good, decent educational decisions based on their interests, on what it is that they're trying to get done.
Can you tell me how much of the Kansas City School District's budget is invested in this program, and who are some of the community partners that you have and utilize?
That's a great question. Oh, when it comes to our budget, we have a competitive grant we have to actually apply for. If we don't receive that grant, we use just a portion of just district funds, but it's really an unfunded mandate.
Wow.
And so, therefore, it is absorbed by the district. So we do rely heavily on our community partners, our churches, our you know, generous individuals, you know, small groups. You know, what happens is that people say, well, what is it that you need? And so I say our ongoing need is always going to be cold winter wear, bus passes, gift cards, as well as non-perishable food items, pop-top ready-to-eat type things, because homelessness is also in our hotels and motels. So how many times have you driven by, you know, one of those hotels or motels where it says, you know, weekly rate is this, you can pay by the day, you can pay by the month. You know, we have families that are actually living there, and that's their normal. There's no, you know, two or three rooms that families can go into. It's that one room. And so, therefore, their cooking consists of a microwave, maybe a hot pot, and a small dorm-like refrigerator. And so what we try to do, again, is just try to make sure that they know about the pantries that are available. You know, so we rely heavily on Hope Faith Ministries. I mean, that's an awesome, awesome entity down on the corner of Admiral and Paseo. And so they offer hot meals. They believe that no homeless person or someone that is experiencing homelessness shouldn't have a right to a hot meal. So they provide hot meals. And they have great partnerships. And so my staff and I, we go and we try to make sure that we donate our time down there, as well as whatever additional resources that we're able to receive from other entities. Because, you know, we're gonna take what we need, and if we have access, we're going to get it down to Hope Faith, so that we can get it out. We're not trying to let things go to waste.
I know this is probably a no-brainer, but I'm gonna ask it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
How do you? Because I would imagine that Kids can be pretty embarrassed about their homeless situation. Maybe it would be helpful if you can just sort of call out some of the signs of homelessness. Maybe we know people who are homeless but who are too proud to ask that. Maybe we could be able to recognize and help. Okay.
Well, first of all, homelessness is more than just that panhandler on the street. When it comes to homelessness in relation to school, and I want to make sure that you all understand that it's with school, our number one goal is enrollment, is to get our kids into school without any issues. And so, again, meeting those basic needs, either through maybe food, clothing, and then, of course, transportation, both in and out of the district, that's our number one role. Our role is not housing. We are a referral program, so we refer families back to whatever agency is available here in the city. But some of the signs would be that the student has poor hygiene. You know, so you're like, okay, well, is there something going on? They may constantly be sick. They may come to school late all the time. They may stay later, and they're always the last child to be picked up, or they're always getting picked up early. You know, so we're looking at these different things, but again, training our front lines, which is our school secretaries, our school nurses, our school principals, our school parent liaisons, you know, just saying, hey, we're noticing something that's just a little bit different. Are you okay? And asking the question, are you okay? Is there anything I can help you with? And, you know, and not doing it in such a manner that it's embarrassing to the student, but pulling them off to the side and having those private conversations, because those are our front lines. Those teachers, everybody that's meeting that student right where they are, they're our front lines. And so when I get the call or the email or the family just comes and sees me, you know, we know what we're working with. We're trying to get after it. And so we try to do it with a sense of urgency, with dignity and love.
Yeah. I know I've being on the school board, I had an experience to come and sit down to meet with you all and help you all with students.
Mm-hmm.
What is the biggest barrier to getting people to know about your office and what you do?
I think we're an undercurrent in the district. You know somebody's there to do it, but you just don't always know who it is. And so we try to go through great lengths to make sure that people know that our office is called the Students in Transition Office, or the Office of Students in Transition, not the Homeless Department, because nobody wants to be referred to as homeless, right? And so therefore, we want to make sure that, you know, again, we're in transition, because there comes a time when everybody's in between. So again, just trying to get the name out there and changing the thought process of homelessness, because I get a call, and I get several calls. I'm homeless. Okay, well, tell me a little bit more about your situation. You may think you're homeless, but according to the law that I operate up under, you may not. And so therefore, again, just talking to people and just really just trying to get to the bottom of their situation. And each situation is a little bit different. So after I go through that emotional roller coaster with that one family, then I have to get myself together, because I have to go through another emotional roller coaster with another family. And again, just, you know, wearing my heart on my sleeve. And so just trying to say, hey, we're here. I don't know if you meet the program requirements or not, but we're here and we're going to do our best to help you. So we're going to try to support you the best way that we can, so that you can be successful in school. Because again, at the end of the day, I got to have kids at school. Kids need to come to school, and they need to be there fully functioning and fully ready to go. And so whatever it is that we have within our ability to do, we're going to get it done.
Where's your office located?
My office is located at the Manual Tech Building, located at 1215 East Truman Road. Our office hours are 8:30 to 4:00. Monday through Friday when school is in session, and, of course, 8:30 to 4 during spring break, as well as the summer, during summer break. So we try to be available most days, so that we're able to meet the family and they don't have to schedule an appointment to see us, but there are times where schedules conflict. But at best, we try to be available for families to help them navigate the system.
And a number where people can get a hold of you if they would
Our phone number will be our general phone number is 816-418-8640. Again, 816-418-8640.
We talk about the McKinley-Vento Act.
Mm-hmm.
For a family or a child that may be homeless, what are some of the benefits or what's some of the program benefits that may help them with? I know I'll let you tell. I know a few of them, but I'll let you tell them.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're asking. So the park or the reason why the act is so important is that we want to promote continuity of education. We want to keep kids in their same schools because if you are going through and you are staying in a shelter and, you know, some shelters say you can stay here 10 days, some shelters say you can stay here 30 days, and your nighttime life is always in flux, we want school to be the safe place, but we also want school to be the stable place. And so we want to definitely make sure that we have that continuity of education. So McKinley-Vento says that you can go to your school of origin, or you can go to the school of residence, or you can go to the school of best interest. And again, that's all assessed when we have our one-on-one conversations with those students. So again, we really want to do what's in the best interest of the student at the end of the day.
Now, is it possible for a kid to register himself? Do you have to have an adult to register for?
It depends on the
classes. Age. Okay.
It depends on the age. And so if there's an unaccompanied youth out there that's trying to get in school, you know, the only thing I can say is just contact us, come over down to our office so that we can figure it out. Because, again, each situation is a little bit different. And especially if there's any safe school violations that are associated with that particular student. And so, and that is statewide. And so the other thing that we're able to help facilitate is just make sure that those students get their immunizations, because we do have to have those shots or those religious exemptions so that we're not spreading communicable diseases. So to make sure that students are healthy and they're not constantly sick so that they can be at school, because the best place for the student to be is at school when school is open, because again, that's the safe environment. You have individuals that are looking out for them. They're able to get you know, a couple of meals, maybe some snacks, but also at the same time they have an opportunity to just breathe.
You used the phrase safe school violations. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like that's something that could make you not be eligible for these benefits. Can you?
Well, that it wouldn't make you ineligible for our benefits. It would make you ineligible to enroll in school.
Okay.
So that's a state. I want to say codes that go through our discipline office, and we have some students that, you know, because you are. Let's just say that you're an unaccompanied youth, and it's cold today, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was cold yesterday, too. So if you go through and you break into a building, because, you know, if I break into the building, I can get picked up, and I can go to a warm place, and I can get a bed and food.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, you've actually committed an offense against society, and so, therefore, but at the same time, you're trying to get your needs met.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just making sure that the offense doesn't prevent you from enrolling in school.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Some of those other offenses may be, I know when I was on school, where we had a child who may bring a weapon to school.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bring a weapon, then you are essentially out of school for 179 days. You're out for that entire year, depending on type of weapon. And if it's a firearm, that's a mandatory 1 year that you can't come to school, and then your parents have to come back and have a hearing. So, you know, some things children may do to try to get themselves into a better situation are actually hurting themselves and putting themselves in a worse situation.
Mm-hmm.
So does the parent in that case you mentioned, Joe, bear any responsibility for the kid and the weapon? Or is it all on the kid? That seems a little unfair to me.
When it comes to education, again, what a lot of people kind of take for granted is that education is available to you without cost, so to speak, because you're the resident of that district. But if you do some things specific that will violate the Missouri Safe Schools Act, then you kind of gave away your right, and mm-hmm. so the student does have to bear some responsibility in there. And so, yes, you will hope that the parent will help correct the situation, but that doesn't always happen. And so it's kind of that whole, you know, I really want the kid to succeed, but at the same time, it may not be the right situation. So parenting skills may not be available for that particular student at that time.
And then if you would admit that kid and another kid got hurt or a mm-hmm. teacher got hurt liability. Or something like that,
right.
That'd be a huge liability.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to have to take a break right now.
Okay.
I think we'll go ahead and do it right now. We come back. We'll continue our discussion with our guest, Melissa Douglas, who is with the Kansas City Public School District Office of Students in Transition. She is a homelessness liaison, and we've been discussing the issue of homelessness among our school children here in Kansas City. You tuned in 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Wolf. Co-host Joe Jackson's at the table, and we're really appreciative of our guest today, Lisa, Melissa, being here. We received an award, KKFI did, Public Affairs Programming, did, given to us today by the Kansas City Association of Black Journalists. Louis Duguid is a name that everybody knows, well, a lot of people know, associated with excellence in journalism here in Kansas City as a former editorial writer for the Kansas City Star. He served there in many capacities down through the years, and Betty Tate, who is also a local activist for justice and diversity, sort of facilitated that award ceremony today. So we're very, very proud to have received an award for serving you, our listeners, the community here in Kansas City. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
How safe can a park built on top of a Superfund site be? John Garland Park in KCK is just such a site. We'll be looking into that at the next Eco Radio Show, Monday at 6 p.m.
If you have a car, boat, or truck you no longer need, you can donate it to KKFI, which helps your favorite radio station and gets you a tax deduction. Call Bill at 816-994-7869.
Radio Urban Connections with your host, Donna Wolf. Our co-host, Joe Jackson, is at the table alongside our guest, Melissa Douglas, from the Kansas City Public School District. She is a homeless liaison in the Office of Students in Transition. Joe, and we've got a caller. I'm going to switch it over, but go ahead with your question, Joe.
I know we were saying transportation. What other things that they possibly can help students with besides transportation, but also that our listeners understand that every school district has to have this, so that you all then get bombarded with everybody's calls, that if I'm living in Grandview or if I'm living in Center, that I can contact the Center School District, and they have a person who's just like you that will also help and assist those families?
That is correct. Every school district, and again, charter and private schools, they have someone identified. They may not call themselves students in transition, but it's someone that has been identified at the school level, and that information has been reported over to the state as well, that this individual or this particular office is available to help assist families who are currently experiencing homelessness. And again, the homelessness is defined under the McKinney-Vento Act. It's not necessarily what you and I, again, think what is homelessness. So they will have to have a conversation with their respective individuals at their respective districts.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
You are on the air at 90.1 FM. I know who this is, but please, for the rest of our listeners, tell us who you are and what part of town you're calling from.
Well, I'm Line Guy, calling from the Villa Incognito in Kansas City, Missouri. And Drew and Imani Coleman went to Island Cabin. We need to know you're out there still breathing. But anyway, no, fascinating program. When you take like 1,800 kids, that'd be a good-sized school district in a lot of parts of the country. But one thing people may ask, like how they can get involved, and I help a friend with organic teaching gardens in one of the school districts. We go over different things over the years, and I consider him a true friend. But anyway, I've always gone to bat for when I get wind of, like, a school board or that, to cut corners and that stuff, like, want to privatize and, whether you call them a custodian or janitor, I prefer a custodian, because, you know, usually they're there, they unlock the building, the last one to leave, they lock the building back up, and they know the building, and they know the people and the children in that. And they're usually an amazing resource. They can see, you know, if a kid is under stress and can talk like the secretary, the principal, or even the school teacher that kid is in, you know, and bring some things attention to them. And they may also know that, like, 2 years ago, that same kid, his sister or brother was in there, and, you know, they had issues with what you're dealing with. So I always go to bat to try, don't even think about privatizing, because, you know, you don't want an equivalent of, sorry, Walmart workers, but a Walmart worker doing that important job of the custodian in any school, especially elementary. So, hey, peace out.
Thank you very much, Blind Guy, for calling in and for your comments. If you have a question or a comment for our guest, give us a call here in studio. The number is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. Joe?
So, I don't know, I've donated items to you all, but if people wanted to donate and bring you items, please give us a list of a little bit more to tell about what they need to donate and what kind of donations you all accept.
Okay, so we love to receive donations. And there are several ways in order to donate directly to our students.
Yes.
So what happens here is that we like to say that the need is constant, is always ongoing. It's not a need that you usually that you can only fulfill at this time of year, because people want to give more during the holidays. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
And so, therefore, with that being said, we want to say that we always have a need for non-perishable, pop-top, ready-to-eat food items, those things that don't require a can opener, because people want to donate food to us. And I'm like, all right, well, if you donate cans, then we're going to need a can opener. Mm-hmm. Because we give them to our families, they may not have that. And so when I told that to an individual, they're like, I didn't think about that. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, so pop-top, ready-to-eat, those lunch-type things that you would take. You can also do gift cards. Those are things that, you know, at the district level, we're just not, you know, us frowned upon if we try to purchase those things. But when they're donated to us, then it also allows that community partner to designate where it is that they want you to spend these dollars. And then, of course, single ride bus passes, hygiene products, and especially feminine hygiene products, because it's also very amazing that you go to public restrooms and toilet paper is free. Mm-hmm. But I have to pay for feminine hygiene products. And so, therefore, those items are constantly needed, and they're constantly needed at our DV shelters and those shelters that support women. Lip balm, who would have thought, right? Okay, so when it's cold like this, you need to have that lip balm. But, of course, when it's really hot and sunny, you still need that lip balm as well. And, of course, cold winter wear like coats and gloves and socks and tights. Underwear, blankets, sleeping bags. It's been an influx this year of us coming in counter with family saying that, hey, we're sleeping in our car. And you're like, okay, well, gosh, where's a safe place for you to go in order to sleep at night? And so we've had some families that they're allowed to sleep in their car in front of a friend's house. Some police officers have told us that they can, you know, go and sleep at the rest stops or the shuttle kind of out more in the Grandview area, because police continually, they patrol those areas. So, again, if you're sleeping in your car, we're not exactly sure where the safe place would be, but you definitely want to be in a high traffic area so somebody can see you. Not that you're going to get much sleep, but at least you know your children will be able to, too, if that's where you are. And, of course, blankets, sleeping bags, uniforms, backpacks, school supplies. And so those items that I've listed, they're also available on our website, Kansas City Public Schools, www.kcpublicschools.org. Just hover over any one of the links, and it'll see students in transition. You can click on that link, and it'll get you directly to us, and then you'll be able to see our list of donated items. I prefer us to have new items because, again, our office is a little small, and so therefore we can't have so much stuff on hand. Mm-hmm. But also we're not trying to spread any communicable diseases. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know how you feel when you get something new, right? And so, again, like I said, we want to help our families, and we want to serve our families with dignity and love. And all of our donations stay local. Okay. They stay within our school district.
We have another caller. Hope you held on. You there, caller?
Yes.
You're on the air. Hi. You're on the air, 90.1.
Yes, how you guys doing?
Tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from.
My name is Larry. I'm calling from Midtown.
Okay, Larry, your question or comment?
I just want to ask, what would you guys say to Ben Carson when he says that being a person that's living in poverty, choose to be in poverty? I wonder what he would say to these kids that's homeless going to school. That's all I had to say.
All right,
thank you,
Larry.
Guys.
Thanks for your thoughts. 816-931-5534, 816-931-KKFI. Joe.
That is not a choice, because sometimes family and life situations happen, and that because your parents may have lost your job, or you may have lost a parent, or the person that you were dealing with, or you had a fire, that people don't choose to live in poverty. It's things that happen that put people into poverty. We're all one paycheck away from being homeless. Let us miss our mortgage 1 or 2 months and see how that particularly happens. So, and these are children.
Thank you, Joe, for your kind and temperate response to that. But I don't think I could be so calm and measured if I had to speak to someone like Ben Carson, if I heard him make a statement like that. No one wants to be poor. No one chooses to be homeless. No one would rather do without because, I'm not worthy. So, shame on Ben Carson if that's what his point of view is. I'm going to answer this next call. Go, Joe.
I'd also like to say that a lot of those items that you mentioned are available at our local dollar stores.
Oh, my gosh.
And
dollar store is awesome.
You can go in there and get a lot for a little that can really help 3 or 4 students on just $20.
Okay, we have another caller on the air. Caller, are you there? Oh. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. I think the caller has got a reverb situation there. I'll try that again. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I want to speak to the items that I were talking about. They are cost-effective items. Again, I try to reiterate to individuals that would like to make donations to us, we need the same things that you need. Mm-hmm. So we would need the clean coats and the clean underwears and, you know, the clean hair care products, those types of things. And we have an awesome community partnership with one of the local churches. And so who would have thought that so many people travel and they go to hotels and motels and they give you the courtesy hygiene things on the counter. And so they, what they do is they collect them because they travel so often. And then at the end of the year, they donate those to us, and we are able to assemble them. And so we're able to give those things away on a regular basis. So, again, I try to discourage people from donating cash right on hand to those individuals that are standing on the corner,
mm-hmm.
because they know what agencies are available here within the city. So it's best that you give those types of things to the agencies that are going to help those individuals, because that's where they're going to go in order to get help.
Okay. I think we may have another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
North Kansas City is for Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
The caller before regarding Ben Carson being put in that position, I think is going to be something that people need to find out how to get in touch with Mr. Carson. And let's really find out if he can follow through on helping some of these homeless people and actually hold his feet to the fire. There's two things that may come out of it. Number one, he'll be educated about the plight of homeless people and see the challenges that they're faced. They face through no fault of their own. And number two, since he is in a position to help actually pull his feet to the fire and find out if he's actually going to start providing some assistance to the homeless people in the Kansas City area. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you very much. 816-931-5534, 816-931-KKFI, if you have a question or a comment for our guest, Melissa from the Kansas City Public School District. She's a homeless liaison in the Office of Students in Transition. Did you have a comment for Anthony on that?
You know, it's really funny because a lot of people don't truly understand the flight in the life of someone that is currently in transition or experiencing homelessness. They're not understanding that these individuals, they don't choose to be in those situations, and they are they're clever. They are individuals that know how to maneuver the systems, and they know how to get around, and they know how to get their needs met. So it's not poor, helpless, homeless person. It's just saying, hey, you know what? My luck is not like yours,
mm-hmm.
but I can get my needs met,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to get my needs
mm-hmm.
met
mm-hmm.
As best I can. And so, you know, I'll challenge anybody to spend a day in the life of one of our families that are currently experiencing homelessness. A young lady, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but she does Hope in the City, and they do an overnight to simulate homelessness downtown. And you know, that's a great example. And so another people, they're like, well, how do I teach my children to give, and how do I instill compassion into my children? And you do that by donating your time to some of these organizations. That's what their mission is to serve families that are, you know, a little bit less fortunate than they are. So, you know, Hope Faith does offer a volunteer opportunity, and so does Salvation Army, and in other entities like that, Salvation Army, City Union Mission. So those are some of the major players here. But, you know, teaching compassion is also through giving of not only your time but some of your resources. So do you have excess that you can donate? And then and with the donation part of it, you know, like, hey, we want to donate clothes. And yes, you know, people do need clothing. Hope Faith has a pretty good clothing closet that's available as well. And some of the other entities, they have them as well. But the thing is nobody wants trash.
Nobody
wants trash. So, you know, when you're donating, and if you're not wearing that particular item because it has a hole in it or it's stained or something like that, you don't want to donate that, because nobody wants trash. They want something nice. They want to look good, too, despite their situations.
Yeah, just because you're homeless doesn't mean you have no self-esteem or self-love.
Oh, absolutely. Self-worth. That's why I said my families, they own their decisions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have great relationships with a lot of them. And then there's some trying relationships at times too, but at the same time, they know that we're genuine and we're here to support them, especially to get their kids into school and going to school consistently.
Where in the city, Melissa, in the Kente School District, are we seeing a lot of homelessness? Are there areas that are more?
There, no. No, it's everywhere, and it can affect any income level at any point in time, because it can be a string of reasons. Again, you know, there's things that you've seen in the past, again, you know, generational, like I was telling you before, but also there can be a medical crisis that comes along. And, you know, of course, like Joe Jackson was saying here, talking about that we're one paycheck away from being homeless. So it can affect you at any point in time, anywhere in life. So it's not saying it's more on the north side, it's more on the east side, it's more out south or anything like that. No, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And again, it affects children a little bit differently than it does adults, because we want to make sure that those kids are still getting to school. And that's the reason why the McKinney-Vento Law was put into place, so those kids can get back and forth to school and have that continuity of education, because I'll say it again and again, school is the safest place for them to be.
Do you have any sense of how much it costs a family to send a kid to school ready and able to learn every year? How much do we actually, do you think, invest in?
I've never been asked that question before.
I was just wondering, because, you know, we take a lot for granted. Mm-hmm. And if you can get up and have a breakfast for your kid and mm-hmm. drive them to school, or however they get there, and they're well-dressed and ready to learn, I was just wondering what that costs.
So let's just look at just the basic of what we provide. So if you do just regular uniform pants, and we'll just say a middle schooler, because they're not in little kid sizes, but they're not fully 100% adult sizes, their pants are running about $28. Shirts can, you know, be somewhere between $15 to $20. Then we're looking at a package of socks. So if you get the largest size that pairs that you can get, so maybe like 12 pairs, I think those are maybe $5 or $6. And then we're looking at a package of three underwear, and those are running another $5 or $6. And that's just, you know, to put
a few clothes on
you, not even
which
a whole.
You got to continually replenish right. throughout the year.
Absolutely. And so that's during the warm times, because yeah. now we don't have a t-shirt on. Mm-hmm. So now we, you know, we spend another $15 on t-shirts, and I don't know why t-shirts are more than underwear. Who knows? Okay. And so then, and these are just for boys, because girls we get a little bit more expensive. And so then, you know, we get a haircut, and so I want to say maybe $12 to $15 for a haircut. Mm-hmm. And then let's just say that we don't have, like, the latest Jordans on. We just have on a decent pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. So that's about $30, $40 there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're well over $100, and that's just for one day of school.
Yeah.
That's not food.
You haven't fed them?
They
haven't been to the doctor or the dentist?
No, they haven't. Oh, I forgot about, you know, our hygiene products. So. Yeah. You know, let's just say it's about another $5 to get all of our hygiene products. Mm-hmm. And that's not including, you know, if we want something special. Like my little cousin, he likes to wear, you know, X. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not on sale. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're reaching maybe, what, $150, almost $200 now? And that's just for one child. Yeah. Let's just say you got five or six. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they're girls. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we got to get their hair done. And so that beauty shop appointment, you know, even for little kids, so let's just say on the conservative side, it's about $30 to get their hair done. And then their clothes are a little bit cheaper, not by much, so they're not spending $30 for a pair of pants. They may be spending about $20 for a pair of pants. But then we have their undergarments. And the undergarments start to become real costly. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not a whole lot of material, but why is it costing $40? Mm-hmm. So it's a couple of $100 per kid. And again, we haven't incorporated food.
Mm-hmm. Or transportation.
So I'm going to really work on that number.
Yeah.
And see what it costs from at back to school time versus at holiday time, because you know we do have a lot of sales that come available at the back to school time, and those same sales aren't necessarily available at the holiday time. Mm-hmm. So that's why you know we try to make a lot of families you know buy those things that are a little bit more durable. So when you're buying uniform pants, look for those reinforced knees, so that the pants can go a little longer. Go ahead and buy them a little bigger because they're going to shrink and they're going to grow. So and then of course. Although you love a good white shirt because you just look nice in it, right? Yeah, we don't want a white shirt. Just can't quite get that stain out of it. Yeah, so we're going to do a darker color shirt because it hides dirt a little bit. Mm-hmm, it hides stains a little bit.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And so now we're planning for our cold winter wear, and so we're going to get some decent heavy-duty coats that can go for more than one season.
Mm-hmm.
And so the biggest thing is with some of our families that are in transit, okay, we just spent a couple $100 on you this year, but now you don't have your stuff because you had to leave immediately or you couldn't take everything that you had, and when you got evicted, your stuff got put out and everybody else took it. So it's kind of an ongoing battle there. You know, it the cost of it is still costly.
Yeah.
Even though you don't have a whole lot, it's still expensive.
It's very expensive, even more expensive when you don't have a lot.
Right.
Because you're not in a position to take advantage of the sales when they occur, and that sales tax holiday, and your check fell on the Friday before that or something like that. But I was wondering, we're hearing so much about the uptick of the use of opioid drugs, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Do you see that contributing to the rising number of homeless children in our area?
I'm not going to say it increases the numbers. It's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
Dependency on substance has always been in our lives one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that could be somebody's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we definitely don't pass judgment on that one. Again, we're trying to make sure that resources are available so that families know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, again, just reinforcing that positive relationship to deter students from having dependencies on substances that are not good for them. So, again, reiterating the statement that I said previously, that school is the safest place, because school prevents a lot of that extra stuff from the street to come in. And so is it going to 100% eliminate it? No, but it does allow that child to help them develop some good decision-making skills and just let them know that I have choices.
We've talked about the McKinney-Vento Act and mm-hmm. the Every Child Succeeds Act. Do these laws apply to kids who go to charter schools, or do your services extend to kids who attend charter schools?
My services are only specific to my district,
mm-hmm.
To students that are enrolled in Kansas City Public Schools,
mm-hmm.
And then the services of other districts are to their school students.
Gotcha.
Charter schools are in essence their own district, so they have to provide that same service, mm-hmm. Even through the reauthorization of the Every Child Succeeds Act. And so charter schools, I won't say they're new to it, but they're jumping in with both feet, and they're collaborating with veteran local liaisons, much like myself. And so they're learning a little bit more, and they're understanding the plight of our families, how they may go from one school district to another school district. And then, and also the other thing is McKinney-Vento also allows the transportation between state lines, because we're so close to Kansas. We do transport kids back and forth over state lines because, again, we want to promote that continuity of education, that school of origin type situation, so students can live in Missouri and go to school in Kansas and vice versa. So we do partner in that sense. So, but charter schools still, they have that same responsibility that we do in order to make sure that those students succeed as well.
So what are the consequences for, not having continuity of education?
Now, that is an excellent question. So the consequences of not having that continuity of education is that that student falls further and further behind. So every time that child moves and they have to go to another school, they have to get reacclimated. And so if you're in school, or if you're out of school more than you're in school, then how do you keep up with those students that are constantly in school? So they historically test a little bit lower than the other students that have been in the same spot consistently. And so what then happens is that because they, by age, may be in a higher grade, by education, they really should be in a lower grade because they've missed some foundations, especially when it comes to the math and, of course, the comprehension piece, which are the biggest things because, again, we see so many students that are falling through the cracks because they're not able to competitively read and comprehend what it is that they're being asked. And so they also have tend to have more discipline issues, and so, you know, sometimes it's not because they're trying to act out. It's just because, you know what, I had a long night. I had to stay up all night and watch my younger brother or sister and make sure nothing happened to them, mm-hmm. and I'm tired. Or I had to protect, you know, the rest of the family. You know, it's really hard to understand the life of a family when the 10-year-old is the parent, or when that 5-year-old is the guardian over this baby. And so those are some of the consequences, some of the negative results that happen. That student just falls behind.
Wow. Joe.
Our community minute for this week, Metropolitan Church, which is located at Linwood and Wabash on 1217, is going to be having a coat giveaway. So I know for those that may be in our community that may not have that jacket that's keeping them warmer, they're going to be giving away coats on next Saturday. That's 1217, 2016. So if you can look by, as you drive by the marquee, they sit and say that I think there's going to be a coat giveaway during the day. So definitely, for those in our community that need a coat or warm jacket, that may be a place to get one.
All righty. Thank you so much, Joe, for that. Melissa Douglas, homeless liaison with the Office of Students in Transition for the Kansas City Public School District. Thank you so much for being our guest here today. Would you give your office's contact information one more time?
Again, Melissa Douglas for Kansas City Public Schools, the Office of Students in Transition. Our address is 1215 East Truman Road. We're located on the third floor inside the Manual Tech Building. We have office hours from 8:30 to 4, and our phone number is 816-418-8640. You can also reach us through the district's website, and that's www.kcpublicschools.org. Office of Students in Transition, and you can also email us at homelessservices@kcpublicschools.org.
All righty. Thank you so much, Melissa. Please stay tuned, everybody, at the top of the hour for Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson.